WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. President Joe Biden says he's taking control of the border. Biden signed a new executive order yesterday that allows the U.S. to turn away migrants and asylum seekers between ports of entry. This comes after the number of people crossing the border have hit an average of more than 4,000 per day over the course of a week. Immigrant rights organizations are challenging this policy. So to understand what this could mean for current and future people seeking asylum, we sat down with Erendira Rendon, Vice President of Immigrant Justice at the Resurrection Project. And we also spoke with Karen Zwick, a supervising attorney of the National Immigration Justice Center. Here's Karen.
There are three main changes that President Biden has implemented with this order. The first is a numeric cap. Under asylum law, a person is allowed to seek asylum regardless of their manner or place of entry into the United States. The rule abandons that requirement and replaces it with an arbitrary numeric cap on access to protection. Now, because that numeric cap has already been reached, any person who tries to seek asylum in the United States without using a smartphone app called CBP-1 for an appointment is barred. The second element is that the rule imposes something which we're calling a shout test, which means that instead of screening applicants for asylum and asking them if they have questions, if they have a fear of returning to their home country, an asylum seeker must affirmatively shout out their fear of asylum. If they don't do so, they will not be given a chance to even seek protection. And then finally, even those who do manage to shout out their desire to seek protection, they will have to satisfy a higher standard than has ever been applied to anyone in any context in order to get a day in court. Border interviews are supposed to be a threshold screening opportunity, but now a person has to show a reasonable probability that they will win protection in the United States in order to even be able to get a chance to seek protection in the United States.
Okay, many more hoops to jump through here. So who, Ere, is going to be impacted more here? People already here or people who might still attempt to cross?
Yeah, this will only affect folks that are attempting to cross right now. And so for organizations that work with immigrants who have been arriving over the last couple of years, we will continue to assist them and, you know, have folks have a year once they do arrive to be able to apply for asylum. And then there's obviously the TPS as well that it currently exists for certain nationals.
The temporary protected status. I'm thinking about enforcement too, Ere. What would border control enforcement of this look like, you think?
Yeah, that'll be very interesting, especially because there are countries in which are not necessarily accepting their nationals from deportation. So the U.S. cannot just, you know, put folks in an airplane and send them back to specific countries. And so that'll be, you know, as we understand it, there still isn't necessarily clear guidelines on that, as well as how many non-Mexican nationals the Mexican government is able to receive back into Mexican territory.
Karen, Biden said that the order won't apply to children and minors. Can you just describe how this could impact families crossing?
The rule is likely to impose a great hardship on families because the rule, anytime the administration makes a rule that excludes children, that incentivizes parents from sending their children independently with the hopes that they will get protection. So a rule like this will inevitably lead to family separation in addition to risk of that separation being permanent if the parents are subject to this rule and then deported back to their home countries and permanently barred from the United States.
And Karen, so we're clear, how will this affect migrants versus those seeking asylum? like, will they be treated differently?
So a person who is, who the United States government concludes is a migrant who is not seeking asylum, if they are a recent arrival at the border, those individuals will be returned, they will be subjected to expedited removal and returned to their country of origin or to Mexico, depending on the circumstances, immediately. The thing that's important to note, though, is that this rule is going to really obscure the difference between an asylum seeker and a migrant who might be coming to the United States for other reasons, because the U.S. government is going to stop asking the questions that are required to elucidate that difference.
That sounds a little bit more confusing, Eri.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always been a little confusing. So what happens is folks, as they arrive into the U.S., if they're seeking asylum, they can, you know, if they are asked if they have fear in going back to their country and they say yes, well, now they're actually going to have to affirmatively state that, then they are able to come into the country and, you know, up until yesterday, and regardless of where they cross, right, and then would be able to start that asylum application process. And we've heard so much about that over the last 2 years of how complicated that is, how you have to apply for asylum and then wait 5 months to be able to get your work permit. So it's not like we are currently living in an uncomplex or straightforward, easy to understand asylum process. This does change. It does make it more complicated, much more difficult in terms of if you cross, you have to cross now to port of entry. You have to seek your appointment through the CBP One app, and no longer just be able to cross anywhere in the border. That's the biggest change in terms of that.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, according to the Biden administration, the number of people crossing the border is averaging more than 4,000 a day over the last week. Now, Biden wants the number to go down by 1,000 for 2 weeks straight before he'll ease up on restrictions. Does that sound realistic to either of you? You first, Eddie.
The number of 2,500 a day has not happened since January of 2020, so we don't foresee that number dropping.
Karen?
Completely agree with Eddie. I think the numbers, even going back even further, the numbers have, it's been very rare that the numbers have been that low.
So Karen, if someone were to declare asylum today, what's the timeline for it getting approved?
For someone who comes to the border today, if they successfully shout out their intention to seek asylum and they successfully overcome the higher standard in this interview, they will then be placed into proceedings. They will not be getting asylum, though. They will be eligible for a much more limited form of relief. So it's important to note that asylum gives people permanent access to remain in the United States. Even the people who successfully jump through those two first hoops, they're not going to be eligible for asylum. They're only going to be eligible for harder to get and lesser quality protections in the form of relief under something called the Convention Against Torture and something called withholding of removal. The timeline for all of that could be, if a person remains detained during that process, could be months, or it could also be about a year. The government, in addition to this rule, just a few weeks ago, announced that it is expanding its a docket for what it's called, quote, calls recent arrivals. Mm-hmm. And so for recent arrivals, they're now also going to expedite the processing of their asylum applications.
How will all of this affect the work that you both do right now? You first, Karen.
It's going to be a big mess, to be honest. I work in our litigation team, and we're preparing to sue the government over these changes because they are illegal and contrary to the asylum statute. NIJC also represents thousands of asylum seekers and does work with ADA and other organizations around the city of Chicago to inform people of their rights. All of that work is going to be much more complicated and confusing and more rushed. One thing that I think is important to flag for listeners here in the local area is that, in addition, even for people who do successfully cross the border, there is a provision in this rule that shortens the timeline to seek asylum. So somebody who successfully enters outside of a port of entry in the next, like today or tomorrow, mm-hmm. their timeline for seeking asylum is now shorter than that 1-year deadline that is statutorily provided.
Eddie.
Yeah, well, we will continue to process temporary protective status applications that does exist for certain nationals, as well as, you know, assisting folks who are here and who want to apply for asylum. I think many of us, including Resurrection Project, NIJC, other legal service providers across the city have been having a difficult time in terms of meeting that demand. So one of the things that we will have to do, especially for folks that have to apply quicker, that will be more challenging for us. But potentially the numbers of folks that will be seeking our assistance in the immediate future could potentially drop a little bit.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Let's go back to Biden's 2020 presidential campaign. What were his plans on immigration back then? I remember that he had a lot to say about then President Trump's immigration policies.
Well, a few things was the president did introduce a comprehensive immigration reform. We continue to think that that's necessary and that is really going to assist us and to be able to solve the problem ultimately. He also did sign an executive order to fortify DACA. We are coming up on the 12th anniversary of DACA. It does continue for folks that have it. And, you know, we continue to call on the president to expand more work authorization for folks who are already in the U.S., especially folks who have been undocumented for decades, including many who are Dreamers and who now have no options for getting work authorization.
Does this current order align with his stance back then?
You know, the current order is definitely completely only about enforcement. We don't believe that that is a complete picture. You know, the president needs to start taking action for folks that are here so that folks do have that work authorization so that Dreamers are able to, you know, after high school or after college, be able to work. And so that mixed status families are able to be able to first get a work permit and then be able to actually adjust their status.
Karen, as an attorney, what is your advice to your attorney colleagues across the country handling asylum cases right now?
If I can just go back quickly to what your previous question of how this relates to 2020.
Yes.
I just want to flag that President Biden denounced basically this exact same policy when President Trump imposed it. So in 2018, President Trump issued a presidential proclamation and an interim final rule doing exactly the same thing. And President Biden denounced it and pledged to get rid of it. And he did get rid of it. And now he has backtracked on that. With respect to what my advice is to attorneys who are seeking to represent asylum seekers going forward, pay attention to when their date of entry, and because the rules are changing so rapidly, just make sure that you are applying the right rules and buckle up for lots of change and lots of hard immigration interviews in the future.
I don't get the sense that either of you think that this was the right call from Biden. So what would have been a better course of executive action, you think, Ede?
The executive actions that we've been asking for, and you know, the state actually just passed a resolution the last week of session. The city, the county have all passed resolutions, is to open up work permits for undocumented immigrants, to really take into consideration the folks that are already in the U.S. and be able to make sure that there's a process for folks to get those work permits. The president has actually expanded work authorization, the largest in history through executive action, whether it be temporary protective status for Venezuelan nationals or and then the redesignation of that, and also through the CBP One app, through what is called a small not well-known federal program called parole under INS. And so there has been some of those executive actions. And so we are asking for the president to continue to expand that, but to also do it for the immigrants who are in the U.S. By using humanitarian parole or significant benefit to the state.
So you still think work permits are a priority on the federal level?
They, you know, we continue to ask for this. If you look at the statement that Senator Durbin made also yesterday after this announcement, he continued to call for it. You know, we will continue to advocate for this. This happened in when Obama was up for reelection. Mm-hmm. You know, he announced DACA on June 15th of his election year, and then opened up in August, and it provided work permits for folks like me that. And those work permits, you know, changed our lives. So it's not completely out of the question in terms of it passing, and it's not completely out of the question in terms of it being a priority. But, you know, we understand that it is our job to make sure that we're continuing to advocate for that, to make it a priority for the Biden administration.
States could still do something, though, right? Because I know New York and Utah, they're already pushing for state-level work permits for immigrants. So do you think maybe Illinois lawmakers should be proactive in sort of pushing legislation for immigrants?
Yeah, you know, states are trying to get creative about what is the possibility of states to be able to give work authorization. We're not in session anymore. What our state did was pass a resolution calling on both, the Biden administration to use its parole authority under significant benefit to the state, so declaring that it's a significant benefit to the state for our undocumented immigrants in Illinois to get a work permit, and then calling on our governor to work with the federal government to open up a parole program for Illinois residents. So it's slightly different than what New York, Utah are looking at. But there's various states, including some Republican states, as you heard, as you heard about Utah, but also states like North Dakota, South Dakota, who really need workers and who are trying to get creative, trying to figure out what is it that's within the authority of a state to do.
Yeah.
But we do know that immigration is a federal issue, and so we are asking the president to take to be bold. He's being bold on the maybe not in the way that we would want at the border, but he can be bold and give work authorization to the undocumented immigrants to start solving the problem that we have in the interior.
Before I let you both go, can you just leave us with some resources for migrants and asylum seekers right now? You first, Karen.
Sure. So again, the name of the organization where I work is the National Immigrant Justice Center. We have an immigration court help desk that is every day at the Chicago Immigration Court. We also have many resources on our website, which is immigrantjustice.org, to help people navigate the asylum system. And we offer screening for both counseled and pro se support that you can get an appointment from going to our website.
Yeah, I suggest welcome to IL.org. Many organizations have put their resources there. There's one pagers about how to apply for asylum, how to change your venue if you have court in another state, for instance. And then there's also resources there for folks that volunteer with recent arrivals so that you can get a little bit more information. There's videos made by TRP and NIJC about, you know, basic things like know your rights, but also what to do when you have to go to court.
Erendira Rendon is the Vice President of Immigrant Justice at the Resurrection Project, and Karen Zwick is a supervising attorney for the National Immigrant Justice Center. Thank you both so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Nadia Hernandez, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Max Lubers. To stay up to date with the stories and news in Chicago, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and head over to wbez.org/reset for a full archive of our interviews. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.